Welcome to my podcast, Secret Series Learning Life Together. Today's title is 10 Tips for a Better Lawn. I'm Larry Rogers. You can learn more about me at secretbookseries.com. Last week was the Masters Week, one of my favorites. It's the one golf tournament of the year that appeals to both golfers and non-golfers because of the beauty of the course. The blooming azaleas, flowering dogwoods, and towering pines are a golfer's Garden of Eden. But the course would not be nearly as attractive if the grass were splotchy and dotted with brown spots. A lawn complements a landscape like an adjective modifies a noun, giving it color and life. I live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is hardiness zone 7B. We're in a transition zone, meaning our climate is too cool for Bimini Bermuda grass, the lush turf of zone 8 in South Alabama or Florida, but too warm for the lush Kentucky bluegrass of the zone 6 bluegrass state. The preferred lawn cultivar for this area is fine leaf fescue, not Kentucky 31, but fine leaf, because the diameter of the grass blade is much thinner, resembling the lush look of bluegrass, along with other benefits. If you're wondering about my credentials for this pod, my college major was biology with an emphasis on botany. I'm a master gardener who owned a landscape company for several years after college, but most importantly, I'm a homeowner who is an avid student of a lush green lawn. Tip number one, select the right cultivar. When you go to Lowe's, which bag of grass seed do you select? With today's inflation, the cheapest is the most tempting, but your best choice will be a blend. Some lawn seed varieties are propagated to grow better in full sun, some in full shade, and some are more disease resistant. You cover all of those bases with a blend. The three varieties in my lawn are Escalade, Falcon 3, and Rendition from the Impro King brand. I bought the bag at Ewing Supply in Murfreesboro. You will never end up with the right turf if you don't start with the right seed. Tip number two, fertilize your lawn 5 times a year. I fertilize my fescue lawn in late February, early April, mid-May, late September, and early November. I use regular release fertilizer in February, March, and September, and slow release fertilizer in May and November. Slow release fertilizer has become one of the marvels of landscape management. The granules are coated with a semi-permeable polymer or resin, which acts as a barrier to the fertilizer's release into the soil. The rate of that release depends on moisture, temperature, and microbial activity. This allows for a gradual and consistent release, keeping the lawn from being burned. Tip number three, never apply more than 1 pound of nitrogen per application. The first number on your fertilizer bag is the percentage of nitrogen. If it's 20 and you want to apply 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, you will need 5 pounds of fertilizer per 1,000 square feet. To get that calculation, divide the amount of desired nitrogen, 1 pound per 1,000 square feet, by the percentage of nitrogen in the bag, 20% in this case. When calculating percentages, convert the number to its decimal form, so 20% equals 0.2. Thus, 1 pound of nitrogen divided by 0.2 equals 5 pounds of 2000 fertilizer to apply 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. Tip number four, measure your lawn. One adult step is about 3 feet. Get a tape measure or yardstick and practice your stride. And then walk off the number of steps in the length and width of each lawn section. Multiply the number of steps by 3 feet. Then multiply length times width. For example, if a section of your lawn is 20 steps long and 20 steps wide, that would equate to 60 feet times 60 feet, or 3,600 total square feet. Add together the square feet of the front, the back, and both side areas to get your total square feet. To apply 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, since 5 pounds covers 1,000 square feet, 50 pounds will cover 10,000 square feet. Thus, one 50-pound bag of 20-0-0 fertilizer covers 10,000 square feet. There are 43,560 square feet in an acre. So 43,560 square feet divided by 10,000 square feet gives 4.3 bags. Therefore, you will need 4.3 50-pound bags of 20-0-0 fertilizer to apply 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet for 1 acre. And you thought you would never need your eighth grade algebra again. Tip number 5, aerate your lawn in mid-February. Wait until there has been a soaking rain, then let the ground dry for a day or two so you won't have to deal with mud. I use a Brinley, spelled B-R-I-N-L-Y, toe-behind aerator that I ordered on Amazon. I pull it behind my Exmark lawnmower, and it works beautifully. Turf does better when roots receive oxygen, water, and fertilizer. Aeration provides those benefits. Tip number 6, apply a crabgrass preventer, a granular pre-emergent chemical that inhibits crabgrass seeds from germinating. This pesky weed sprouts from a new seed every year. The timing of the pre-emergent application, however, can be tricky. It must be applied when the seeds are in the process of germinating. If applied too early, the crabgrass seeds are still dormant and the chemical is ineffective. If applied too late, the seeds have already germinated. So the ideal time for application is when yellow forsythia starts blooming or when the soil temperature reaches 55 degrees Fahrenheit 4 days in a row. You could check that soil temperature with a Zuhal soil thermometer. That's spelled X-U-H-A-L. I have used Scott's, Preen, Spectracide, Vigoro, and Lesco pre-emergent herbicide brands with success. I guess my preference would be Scott's Halts. Haven't had much luck spraying crabgrass with a post-emergent herbicide, so try to get them before they sprout. Tip number 7, buy a backpack sprayer. Mine is a Chapin 61500 4-gallon sprayer, which I again ordered on Amazon. It will be useful for spraying herbicides, insecticides, and fungicides 1,000 times over. Tip number 8, use that backpack sprayer to kill unwanted lawn weeds. Don't waste your money on the granular fertilizer, which also contains powdered weed killer. You can control dandelion, buckhorn plantain, carpet weed, chickweed, clover, henbit, foxtail, bittercress, nutsedge, speedwell, spurge, and wild onion with a post-emergent herbicide such as 2,4-D-amine. It's a miracle chemical that kills the weed but not the lawn. I use the Southern Ag brand from Amazon and add about 3 tablespoons of the herbicide per gallon. Tip number 9, water your lawn in the heat of summer. Fescue is a cool season grass. It does not like the hot, dry summer months. Just budget an extra $150 to $200 per month for June, July, August, maybe September, and keep your lawn lush and happy. And finally, tip number 10, and the most important tip, mow the lawn at a height of 3.5 inches. Most of the lawns in Middle Tennessee are mostly crabgrass, and most of the reason is mower height. Turfgrass cultivars cannot survive being scalped at a height of 1 to 2 inches, and if more than 1/3 of the new growth is clipped at one time, the plant will be shocked. Crabgrass always defeats fescue when the mower height is too low, especially if the temperature is too high and moisture is too low. Proper turf grass height also discourages weed seeds from germinating. Most homeowners do not like to mow grass. They want to mow infrequently and in the lowest setting. Focusing on mower height, however, is more important for a lush lawn than fertilization, overseeding, and weed control combined. The beauty of a lawn is not dependent on the quality of the lawnmower performance or lines in the lawn, but on the quality of the turf grass performance. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Some parts were taken from my new book, The Secret of Gardening, A Month-to-Month Guide to a Better Landscape, which is scheduled for release in May. Again, to learn more about me, please visit my website, secretbookseries.com. And in case you need any of the calculations mentioned, you can find them in the written notes. I hope you have a weed-free green day that's the envy of your neighborhood.